I'm frightened of our next guest, Andrew Sharp. We've never met, but no, probably not. He of Sports Illustrated. Hey, Andrew, have you seen that video of the Pelicans at the guy at the Pelicans game?
Yes, I have seen it. I was very impressed by his attention to detail, and I also, my takeaway was a little different though, because I think that says a lot about the Pelicans roster the past few years that a guy could wander onto the court and the rest of the team would be like, all right, I guess he's on the team. So,
what if it was like
kudos to him, you know?
Yeah, it might have been Anthony Davis passing the ball. He's like, right, I guess you're on the team.
I guess we signed this new 10-day D-leaguer, you know?
That's so sad and true, though, that is really, like, that is the Pelicans. They are the number one team for when they're playing your team and you tune into a game. When the bench guys come in, you're like, who? Who's that guy? The Grizzlies.
Exactly.
The Grizzlies are starting to get
where
there.
Where did this guy play college?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, there was a guy on the Lakers last night. I was watching the Raptors game, and a guy came in number 15 on the Lakers, and I couldn't decipher who he was. And again, I watched like quite a bit of hoops, and I'd never seen this guy before. And even the like our local announce team, like he got an N1, and they just didn't even bring up his name, and they just let him shoot his free throws in garbage time. There was no graphic. I was like, who is this mystery man? And I refused to Google it because I'm just gonna wait and try to see him in some other Lakers game. So I do enjoy the those guys and the Pelicans. Yes, they are the number one team with that. You know what? Let's start with the Pelicans then, actually, because I can't help but be disappointed for this Boogie Cousins injury just for like a multitude of reasons. But number one, like, okay, I guess number one is that he's a person, and this has to be crushing to go through such a like devastating injury like that. And I can't think of like, do you have an example off the top of your head of a guy that's this size that suffered this injury? Like he's 28 years old and he's, or 27, somewhere around there. He's 7 feet tall and he weighs almost 300 pounds. Like I just, the coming back from this must be devastating. And secondly, is just that now if we're looking at the first round of the NBA playoffs, which is usually the worst, like it's really hard to get up for those games, that we were going to finally see Boogie Cousins in the playoffs. And we were going to have a matchup potentially of these two guys with the Spurs, or the idea of two traditional, or like, I guess they're not traditional bigs, but two bigs going up against a team like the Rockets that's trying to get a lot smaller and quicker. And now that's evaporated and the Pelicans are back to being the same old below mediocre team we've seen from the past.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because usually when an NBA player gets hurt, you'll go on Twitter and people are acting like someone died, and it's just like way too dramatic. But I was really, really bummed out by the Boogie news, and I think you hit on it. I mean, like the name that keeps getting tossed around as far as a comparison injury wise is Elton Brand, and Elton Brand was never the same after his injury. And you know, Boogie I think is a little bit more athletic to begin with, so he probably will fare a little bit better than Elton Brand did, but it's not, I mean, the track record of guys coming back from Achilles injuries is not great, and especially at that size, like you said. The thing that really bums me out as a fan of Boogies and as just a general basketball fan is that we've been going back and forth for like 5 or 6 years of arguing about Boogie and how much responsibility he had for the struggles that his teams have had. And this was probably our first chance to see him on a above average team. I mean, the Pelicans were really starting to come together, and it would have been really cool to sort of see him in a situation where we really get to see like what he can do. And like, I think we just haven't had a chance to sort of grade him fairly throughout his career. And now I worry that like, he's not ever going to be the same. But I'm sure he'll come back stronger than I think our worst fears would suggest. But it's dark, man. I mean, and the Pelicans have had like a really tough history with injuries over the last 3 or 4 years, and now like Anthony Davis's deal is coming up, so there are a lot of hard questions to ask there. And then the first round in the playoffs in the West is going to be pretty brutal, because like really, like even if the Pelicans weren't going to win a series, the novelty of seeing Boogie and Anthony Davis out there together in a playoff series would have been really cool and entertaining, and now that's off the table as well.
Well, T-Wolves Thunder is an interesting series, but that's about
that
it.
Happens. Yeah, but it's going to be pretty paper thin. And I can't imagine, like, other than in the Eastern Conference, the idea of, I mean, there would be the, can the Raptors finally get over their ghosts, and can the Cavaliers flip the switch? But, I mean, if those get answered pretty quickly, I don't really see how many people are going to be invested in the first round. This, the second part of this, though, is that actually, like, the Pelicans moving forward, because, you know, Boogie's contract is going to be up, and I can't imagine that the Pelicans, like, you're talking about, we want to evaluate him as fans. Like, I'm pretty sure the Pelicans would have liked to evaluate what the two of those guys look like together in the playoffs. And now you're in this situation where if you're DeMarcus Cousins, I can't imagine that this doesn't hurt. Like, this is a guy that didn't get traded for very much, and everybody knew he was available. So I don't really know what the market is going to be for him if he was to hit free agency, if he was healthy, because I think that a lot of people still had question marks about him, and even especially if they would have flamed out in the playoffs. But if you're the Pelicans, like, you have to be able to give a show of faith to Anthony Davis that you're going to continue to try to compete. And I can't imagine that Boogie Cousins gives them any type of a discount on this. So it's like, now you have to hand this guy a max contract for who's coming off of, like I said, that Achilles injury. And you mentioned Elton Brand. And as much as I want to believe that this is, you know, new science and that they'll be able to rehab him and he'll eventually come around, it really is hard to think about a guy who is that size not moving for quite some time and not worrying, thinking things like, you know, like, maybe he's like Sean Kemp. Maybe he just puts on the weight and you can't take it off.
Yeah, I mean, you hit on it. It's, we all have to sort of put our faith into new science. That's like the buzzword that we're sort of talking ourselves into.
Which we all know nothing
anyone
about.
Who doesn't want to be horribly depressed. Yeah, who knows
like
what
new
the
science.
New science actually is.
Sure,
but
lasers.
But fingers crossed that there's new science. Yeah, exactly. There'll be a laser involved somehow. The thing with the Pelicans is, I don't think it's as hard a choice as some people are making it out to be. Only because I don't think that they have many other alternatives down there. You know, like, they've struggled to bring guys in to put around Anthony Davis the last few years. And I think that, like, betting on Boogie is a better call than, first of all, they're capped out this summer, so they're not going to be able to spend the money elsewhere until 2019. And so overpaying Boogie is probably a better alternative than anything else they're going to do with that money. But, I mean, the point is well taken that, like, someone who's approaching 30 coming off a, like, really, really serious knee injury, those contracts generally don't age very well. They were in a similar spot with Jrue Holiday this year where they, like, they had no choice but to pay him. And everybody, the second that deal was signed, everybody said that's going to be a tough pill to swallow as the years pass. So it's bleak, you know. It makes you appreciate some of the other teams who, like, are able to navigate this, and like the Pelicans are just sort of like a small market cautionary tale.
Let's talk about something less depressing. Actually, I find this exciting. It was like one of the moments of the NBA season, Joel Embiid dunking on Russell Westbrook's head yesterday, and I'm trying to like gin myself up for this new All-Star game format. That is exactly what I needed because they don't play on the same team. Like, all the storylines, LeBron's playing with Kyrie and Durant, so we're not going to see those guys go against each other. But Russ and Embiid against each other in that All-Star game, they've got to manipulate it somehow so those guys are one-on-one at some point.
Oh, man, it was great. It was great. That honestly, that whole exchange made me wish that we could reseed the playoffs so we could potentially get a Sixers-Thunder playoff series at some point in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
As far as that game was concerned, my favorite part is that after Embiid pulled that off, for about the next 20 minutes, the Thunder took turns trying to dunk on Embiid and nobody could do it.
Yes.
Paul George went at him. Russ was going at him every chance he got. And so it was a good run this weekend. They had they had Celtics Warriors on Saturday night as the showcase game, and then Sixers Thunder was fun as well. And you know, the Thunder are actually, I've been on with you guys a couple times this year, and the story with the Thunder changes every month.
Yep.
But they're actually playing pretty well right now, and even with the loss of Andre Roberson, things are starting to come together for them, and I think that's good for the stretch run of the season. That adds a little bit of intrigue as we head toward the playoffs.
Yeah, Russ is like the popular kid on the team, and everybody just does whatever they can to try to impress Russ so that maybe he passes them the ball.
It was amazing.
And validates them. Like, it's wild. It's like he's got them all with Stockholm Syndrome whenever they're on that team. They're like, we love Russ. Russ is the best. And then a guy like Oladipo leaves and Sabonis leaves.
He's
they're
an all-star.
Free! We're free.
Oh, there's nothing better in sports, though, than the end of that game and Russ dribbling out the clock looking directly at Embiid.
I thought it was okay.
I loved it.
Russ gets mad at everyone for every little thing.
And I love him for it.
Sure, but I'm just saying, to me, it was like, it loses a little bit of an effect when you do it every single night. Like, if he had just
But it doesn't get dunked on every night.
Yeah, and then Embiid posts on social media. I thought that was pretty fun. it was okay. I just think that Russ takes everything like a vendetta. Like, when he went out and held court for Paul George.
It
was like,
it says something about this league that something like that it maybe doesn't move the needle for people that there's so much going on that's kind of like, it's like fifth in the pecking order.
Yeah, if this was hockey, you would be dominating the news cycle for a week. So I really liked your article on the Cavs. And if anybody wants to go read it, LeBron James and the Limits of Unprecedented Power. And one of my takeaways from this was actually just reminding me of something that Ben and I have talked about. We had Brian Windhorst on the other day, and he kind of didn't really answer the question. So I guess I'll ask you. But in all of this, we're looking at it and being like, okay, what does LeBron want to do and where is he going to go? And you brought up the idea of like him going to LA, for example, and whether he has that type of pull in an organization like the Lakers to be making moves to move a guy like Brandon Ingram. But the main thing I wondered is that, do you think that he still has the pull around the league to be able to draw players to him? Because I feel like this last calendar year has been really brutal, is that the Warriors are so good, you're not really guaranteed the like real title chance that you once were with LeBron James, that he seems to be more of a polarizing personality in the league than maybe ever before, and that he doesn't maybe resonate with a lot of the young players, or especially guys that can control where they want to go. Like, I just think about Paul George decided he would rather be in Oklahoma City than in Cleveland. Kyrie Irving desperately wanted to leave. At this point, Isaiah Thomas, who when he came in was lauding and praising LeBron James, like doesn't really seem to be all that getting along with him. Kevin Love and LeBron James have had a bit of a fallout. Like, it seems to me that like LeBron's guys now is just the banana boat crew. And it's like, okay, like you can take Dwayne Wade wherever you want to go. Like, he's a bag of bones now, and you're not going to get a full season out of him. And you're basically crossing your fingers that he's good. And then if you look at like the other guys, like what, Chris Paul is going to leave his situation in Houston to follow you somewhere? Like, I don't think so. Maybe you have to go join him. Like, what's Carmelo Anthony worth? Like, I just don't know how much sway LeBron James has over the rest of the league to join him somewhere else, like he used to be when he went to Miami.
Yeah, you know, it's a very valid question right now. And it's one of the reasons I think everyone in the league has spent the last couple months and will spend the next 6 months playing out various scenarios for his summer. And the more I think about it, the more it looks like the Rockets, if he can find a way to make that happen, would make sense. Mm-hmm. In large part because of what you're talking about. Like, I don't know how many superstars, particularly younger guys, would want to go kind of play in LeBron's shadow for the next 4 or 5 years of their career, especially because his skills, I mean, he's still the best player in the league, but his ability to bring it every night is not there anymore. And I think you're seeing that with Cleveland now. Like, I don't think the Cavs are as good as they've been in recent years, but I also don't think they're as bad as they look some nights. But sometimes it sort of falls apart because LeBron's not guarding people and guys take their cues from him. And I think that's going to be true on any team he plays on, because he's just that dominant of a personality and just a figure on and off the court. He's going to set the tone for franchises. And that was part of what I was writing about last week and sort of hinting at, is that like, he may have to actively adapt over the next couple of years just to age more gracefully, because there are elements of the last few years in Cleveland that have started to remind me of Kobe, where like he is just so exhausting to be around. And you see it with the Cavs some nights. They'll have months of the season where they just kind of look burned out. Everybody is worn out. And I think that's only going to become more problematic as you go forward. So, yeah, that's one of the major drawbacks with LA is I'm not sure if he ends up with the Lakers. I'm not sure who he's going to sort of lure out there to kind of come be his sidekick at this point in in like Kawhi's career. I don't know if that's appealing to Kawhi, although maybe he's the type of personality who'd be into it because he's not trying to be in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. But like even Paul George, like it's going to be a really interesting next few years for LeBron. And personally, I would be I would like him to be sort of the elder statesman, but it seems like he is sort of perpetually angling to try and beat the Warriors. And I don't know if there's any team he can go to where he's going to be able to sort of build a new super team and actually compete with Golden State.
So we are in the here and now with this Cavs team though. And it, you're right. Like they look bad, and it's really hard to envision the flip switch. And it's like, even when they had the drama with David Blatt and LeBron was subtweeting guys, like it didn't feel this dysfunctional where, you know, Isaiah Thomas is holding court and talking to the media and saying that it's not his fault. And like, it's ugly. Like it really looks bad. And
yeah,
he can downplay the Kevin Love shoving the ball in his gut, like bending down to it. But that's just a weird thing to see. Like in a game where you really can't hide emotions on the court, like it just doesn't look like these guys get along whatsoever. And I just don't see how it starts to get better, especially if you're going to ask LeBron James, who's been notoriously good at finding different places to rest his body and gear up for the playoffs, that he's going to have to carry this load down the stretch in the regular season. Like, I almost feel like we're on the brink of what, remember that time with the Blatt team where he just decided to take a week and go to Miami? He was like, I'm like fake.
It might be healthy for everybody for
right.
him to do
like,
that.
I like, think he has to
weeks,
do that.
Man.
Yeah, like he just needs to step away and they plummet a bit in the standings and they try to find themselves without LeBron. But I think there's two questions when it comes to Isaiah Thomas. And one is that I want to get your thought on the, like, did you see Farmer Jones's tweet on likability? Like, I can't, like, he said it. He's like, I can't remember anyone going from being so universally liked to just losing all of their popularity right away, just the way that he's handled himself. And two is that if it continues where he can't fit in for like the next 2 weeks, and I know it's so small of a sample size and it's so quick, like, don't you have to at least try to be looking at what you can flip him for?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely going to be a conversation that the Cavs have over the next couple weeks here. And, you know, and the trade deadline is approaching pretty quickly, so they're going to have to figure it out real quick. As far as Isaiah's likability, there's no question that things have gotten uncomfortable. I mean, that press conference over the weekend where he's going back and forth with the reporter, and I think he asked Jason Lloyd to name his sources, and it was tough, man. Yeah. And I've been a huge fan of watching Isaiah the last couple of years, and I think everybody around the league has been, but he's been thrown into a really difficult spot where the team was already struggling on defense and he's not going to help there. And then offensively, like all year we've been wondering whether he and LeBron would be able to develop chemistry because Isaiah needs the ball and needs a lot of shots to be effective. And the Cavs have never run their offense that way. And I think if anything, it makes you appreciate how good Kyrie was being able to kind of create in the shadow of LeBron and just sort of generate offense out of thin air whenever LeBron would kind of take a back seat. But as far as the trade question, I definitely think that at this point, everyone in Cleveland who's not named LeBron is on the table. And you look at the fit with Isaiah. I don't think that trading Isaiah is suddenly going to make them like a real threat to the Warriors, but it may make the next 3 or 4 months less miserable. And it may make the chemistry a little bit more tenable going forward. And so like, if the right deal is out there and if they can find a team that'll take them, then they're going to have to listen. I mean, even like it might make sense to call up Detroit and say, look, you guys need a spark. Isaiah, why don't you take a flyer on the next 2.5 months of Isaiah? And maybe they'll throw in a pick and try to get back Avery Bradley.
Oh my God.
Avery Bradley is a guy who could really help the Cavs. But you know, the Pistons are going to have all kinds of offers for Avery Bradley, but that's what I would think about if I were the Cavs. I think it's bad enough now that everything has to be on the table.
Can't get any worse defensively.
Yeah. If the Pistons called and were like, hey, we'd like to do something that's centered around Isaiah Thomas for Avery Bradley, I'd like, done. Good. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's getting uncomfortable for everybody, you know?
Yeah. Before we let you go. Yeah. I've taken all of my eggs out of the Cavs basket in regards to hoping for an entertaining finals. I still think it's possible, uh-huh. but it's not all my eggs are in that basket. Some of those eggs got transferred into the Celtics basket
You're
over the week.
Vain.
Yeah, sure. It's sports. Why not? Yeah. Let's project to maybe a Gordon Hayward return. Okay, there's a possibility the Raptors figure it out and are a formidable foe for the Warriors, but I need to see more of that team. I think I have more faith in Kyrie, the superstar, and the incredible defense that the Celtics play being a better matchup for the Warriors. You know what? All right. Maybe that is a series that could go, I don't know, at
six?
Least five.
Yeah, if
LeBron
we can get
and the
six.
Cavs went five, yeah. so yeah, oh. could go at least five.
You would sign up for that today,
yeah,
right? Six games in the NBA Finals? I'm a dotted line, no problem.
You know, listen, I will say this. We've done a lot of trashing of the playoffs today. I think that the Eastern Conference bracket is going to be pretty fun because of the Cavs struggles. It's wide open, but I don't know. I'm not going to read too much into Saturday night Celtics Warriors because I think the Warriors will flip a switch and become a lot more impossible once you get to the playoffs. So my prediction would be probably Warriors in four or five, but four or five entertaining games because when there's something, the way the Celtics guard Golden State, yeah, I'm not going to oversell it. You know, I think Boston could get in there and make it entertaining, but I don't think big picture, there's still not a ton of drama.
That was like the opposite of what Tony Romo does when it's like Titans, Patriots, and he's like, everyone thinks the Patriots are just going to win this game, but I'll tell you what, this is going to be a great game, and then it's halftime, and Tony Romo's still like, you got to stay tuned. We're just like, listen, like four or five decent games. Like that's, oh boy.
Yeah, let's not get too crazy, yeah. You know?
Andrew, thanks for this, pal.
Always fun, dude.
All right, man, take it easy.